When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Michelle Smallman in the loo. Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Smalls.
Did you have to say it like that, Evan?
In the loo, yeah.
Smalls in the loo?
Uh-huh. Smalls in the loo.
You couldn't wait to use that, huh?
Yeah, it's my thing. It's my thing. I invented that.
The loo is your thing?
Oh, wait a minute. You got a terry cloth shirt. I like this shirt you got on today.
Well, yeah, it's 65 degrees outside.
Irrelevant for my outfit.
It doesn't matter what the weather is outside. You're going to wear the same thing. It's going to be the jacket with the hoodie combo. The consistency is what we're learning about you, and I'm coming to a place now where I actually can appreciate it.
Wow. Thank you.
I'm not Chris Carlin. I actually appreciate your swag.
Thank you.
I appreciate the consistency.
Thank you.
The Evan Cohen that wore the sport code at the Hollywood Casino
Uh-oh.
In Greektown.
Oh,
I'm not on board with it. I'm not on board with it. This is your uniform when you show up to a sports bar like.
I have a uniform.
You have a uniform.
I have a uniform.
You have a uniform.
I like it. Okay.
You keep doing it. People will respect you for it.
All right. Then I guess I got to keep doing it. You know, Smalls, on Friday, I had a big day, as you know,
yes.
And you and CeCe credited me with the amazing draft that I had, right? And I appreciate that. QB rules, had a big night, Michael Penix Jr., et cetera, et cetera.
Huge.
Well, CeCe, the floor is yours today because you had a big night last night. The Timberwolves and Ant-Man scoring 40 points, sweeping the Suns. You've been on an anti-Suns roster kick recently. What are they doing? What is Durant doing, et cetera, et cetera? And you've been pro-Timberwolves. And it all came together for you last night with a 122-116 Timberwolves win over the Suns. Only one series is over in the NBA. Only one. And it's this one.
Yeah, I mean, Anthony Edwards is phenomenal. You mentioned it, 40 points, but 31 of those were in the second half. So we talk a lot about competitive greatness, being at your best when your best was required. You're starting to see that come out in spades for Ant-Man. And, I mean, you saw it in the fourth quarter. He tweaked his ankle, but it didn't really matter. Came back, had that vicious dunk where Kevin Durant thought about being the weak side defender to rotate over and then thought better of it and got the hell out of the way. But Anthony Edwards is here. I mean, last night that was him announcing to the NBA that this Timberwolves team – is to be taken seriously no matter who their draw is in the second round. Now, they've got the Denver Nuggets, which is the reigning defending champs, and they deserve their respect. But don't think for a minute that series with the Timberwolves against the Nuggets is going to look like what the Nuggets are doing to the Lakers. It's not going to be that type of party with the Timberwolves. This is a team that is deep. This is a team that has conviction in terms of their individual roles and how that leads to team success. I mean, the only question now is what happens to their head coach, Chris Finch, who throughout
got injured.
Who got injured?
Yeah, wait, hold on. Say that again. A head coach, unfortunately, I'm not laughing at Finch.
But you are laughing.
Well, I'm laughing. Conceptually, you don't usually leave a game where a head coach gets hurt.
Right.
Yeah.
But that happens.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what ends up happening and how, you know, his availability and how that affects how the team responds, in-game adjustments, the whole nine. But, yeah, I mean, there isn't a whole lot not to like about this Minnesota Timberwolves team. It's a fun team to watch, and it shows a level of maturity that they were able to, up 3-0, close out the Phoenix Suns in a game that was tied going into clutch time. Like, for them to show that level of maturity, to not rest on their laurels, to not say, hey, it's mission accomplished, we got one in the Valley, let's go on home and close it out. They took care of their business early so they can get a couple of extra days rest before their second round game.
No doubt. I think the story, though, becomes, not that that's not the story, that is the story.
That is the story.
But that will continue now, to their credit, throughout the playoffs. What will not continue is conversation about the quote-unquote super team that is not a super team, the big three that is not a big three in Phoenix. As they lose, they're eliminated. What happens now with one of the worst roster compositions you've seen in a long time in the NBA? Under the new rules, this roster makes no sense. And Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN senior NBA insider on NBA Countdown. This is before they got swept last night. Had this to say about the Suns.
When you have this kind of a payroll, these kinds of expectations,
right.
You've got to not only show more in the first round, you've got to get out of the first round. Losing in six last year to Denver in the second round cost Monty Williams his job. You've seen Matt Ishbia, the owner. He has made rapid change in his short tenure as owner. Frank Vogel's job very much may be in jeopardy now.
All right, so Woj says that, and then before the game, before they get swept, Frank Vogel, the head coach, was asked about his job security.
Coach, obviously, here of late, you've been talking about, you know, year one, build, you know, year one, learning each other. How confident that you'll get a year two to be able to build off of that?
Very.
Okay.
I got the full support of Matt Ishbia.
Very confident. Smalls, this was a complete mess from start to finish. They acquired two shooting guards and a small forward who are all offense first. And I love KD, but this is an all-time failure in Phoenix this year.
Yeah, relative to the star power on this team, the money required to have that star power there, and the expectations, this is wildly disappointing for so many reasons. And the fact that they were going into this, and the Suns had beaten Minnesota in all three of their matchups in the regular season. So you thought at least that they would be a little bit more competitive than this. But Booker, Durant, and Beal, the Suns were minus 51 when the three of them shared the floor in this series, guys. It was a disappointment all the way around. And even though Frank Vogel is saying that he's confident in his job security, it feels like when you have a collection of stars up to this magnitude with this much money that's at stake, someone is going to have to pay the consequences for this. And also, it breeds more questions that we have about Kevin Durant and about his ability to be the guy, the number one guy and the leader on a team.
The Phoenix Suns have an estimated luxury tax bill of $104 million next year. $104 million.
For those who don't get that, that's an add-on to the actual salaries
yes.
that they're
playing. Yes, so their salary is $200 million, but then you add on another $104 million in taxes.
That's the tip.
If you're Matt Ishbia, I know you're rich. I know you're a billionaire. I get it. The Billionaires Boys Club. But how the hell can you justify that amount on the luxury tax if your team is getting swept in the first round?
I'm glad you named names on this because I want to defend a couple of people here. First off, I want to defend James Jones, the general manager. There's no chance in hell he put this team together.
No.
This was Ishbia, the governor of the team. This was him coming in, new owner. I have to make a move immediately. I have to get Kevin Durant. I got no issue with getting Kevin Durant, obviously. Even though you gave up good players, Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson. Doesn't matter. It's Kevin Durant. The problem is Ishbia's got Isaiah Thomas in his ear, which is absurd, and they over the summers think, hey, there's good value in this Bradley Beal deal. We can go out and get him, and we don't have to give up much to get him because he's got a no-trade clause. Well, you know what? That is a disaster. There's no chance that Frank Vogel, the head coach, made that move, and there's no chance that James Jones, the general manager, made that move. This falls squarely on the person that CeCe just said has to voluntarily pay $104 million in luxury tax. You know what Bradley Beal gave you last night? 9 points, and he fouled out in an elimination game.
Yeah.
I mean, just absolutely brutal. This is one of the worst roster compositions we've seen in years, and this is not a new take. Everyone knew this, and especially during the new rules in the NBA, which do not allow for additions here. They have what they have. There's nothing that this team can do in terms of adding guys. They are absolutely scrapped. So the question becomes, which one happens first? Kevin Durant asks out or Devin Booker asks out? Because neither of them are going to want to stay there under these circumstances. Even if you get rid of Frank Vogel, who won a championship with the Lakers, oh, by the way, who was an excellent coach in Indiana, oh, by the way, one of the two star players is going to ask out, and they can't trade Bradley Beal anywhere.
No, that's an immovable object. That contract is one of the worst in professional sports, Ev. Like, it's one of the worst. And here's the thing, like, it's not as if we can use injuries as an excuse with this trio. I mean, think about it. For Bradley Beal, this is the most games he's played in since 2020-2021 season. For Kevin Durant, this is the most games he's played in since the 2018-2019 season when Golden State lost to the Toronto Raptors. Devin Booker, same thing. The most games he's played in a couple of years. Like, they've had an opportunity to play together. And this team had a plus-minus of minus 51 when they were on the court together during this series. Think about that. That trio had a plus minus of minus 51 when they were on the court throughout this series. That just tells you that even when they're there, they don't know how to play together. You've been heard grumblings about how Kevin Durant is not happy with the system and the role that he's been relegated to. They're asking him to post up in the corner more than he would like to, running the offense with high pick and roll. That's not really what he prefers. And so I think that there is a disconnect when it comes to what the stars want to do versus how the coach is telling them they have to win. And so without that level of buy-in, I just don't see how this team get significantly better. Without being able to overhaul the roster and develop a bench, I don't see how they get significantly better. So there's not a lot of room to improve this team within the margins because of the tax constraints, which is why I think by far the more likely of the two scenarios is them blowing it up as opposed to running it back.
They now are grouped with some of the all-time busts, right? I mean, we're talking about the Dream Team Eagles. We're talking about the Nash, Kobe, Dwight Lakers. Right, I mean, that's what we're looking at here.
Yeah.
Unless that's too much of a compliment. I mean, are we complimenting them too much to put them in an all-time bust category? Smalls, you're laughing at this. I don't know. Is it too much? Like, is it even wrong to put them in that category? Because we all knew that this was not going to be
successful.
I mean,
how did you gloss over the Brooklyn Nets, though?
Oh, God, yeah.
That's why I was laughing. Because I was like, are we going to throw in Kevin Durant's other team, his other super team outside of the Warriors and the Brooklyn Nets? He's now basically the author of two of these big super team busts. And I think that that's a huge part of the conversation moving forward. And no, Evan, I don't think it's a compliment to put them in that category of all-time busts. I think it's a pretty severe diss.
Smalls, legitimate question. Has any athlete done less with more like Kevin Durant? Like, think about this.
Yeah.
From an individual talent standpoint, we know how great he is, top 15 player all time. Mm-hmm. From the talent that's been around him, whether it's the greatest shooter God ever made in Steph Curry, whether it's Russell Westbrook and James Harden in OKC, whether it's James Harden, Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn, and right now it's Devin Booker and Bradley Beal in Phoenix. Has any player done less with more than Kevin Durant?
Oh, that is such a good question.
I don't know the answer to that. Like, I don't know. And here's the other one that's going to really bake your noodle.
I'm sorry, what did you just say? Bake my noodle?
Yeah, here's the other one that's going to make you noodle. It's very confusing. Very confusing, which is the point, right? Yeah. Can you win a championship with Kevin Durant as the best player on the team right now?
No, not anymore. Unfortunately, and I'm a huge fan of his. But no. No. I mean, how can I?
That is an indictment.
Yeah, but look at who he went up against last night. A guy that looked up to Kevin Durant his entire life as his idol in Anthony Edwards, who also said, I want to kill what's in front of me. And last night he killed what's in front of him. That's the reality of this. All right, there's more to do on the bust that was the Phoenix Suns, all-time dream team, super team bust. So we have the Eagles, the Vince Young saying dream team, the Nash, Kobe, Dwight Lakers. I immediately forgot the Brooklyn Nets with Kevin Durant. I'm sure we'll get more answers on that at 888-SAY-ESPN and at UnsportsESPN. I didn't know Madison Square Garden was in Philadelphia. We'll discuss that next. But first, CeCe, your Timberwolves and Ant-Man got it done last night, just like Granger.
Yes, for the ones who get it done, like Ant-Man dropping 40 points in a closeout game. Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Knicks up 3-1 in their series over the Philadelphia 76ers. 97-92, they win in Philly, an embarrassing loss for the Sixers. Let's be honest about this. That was a terrible loss for the Philadelphia 76ers, who have Embiid. He is going up against the Knicks, where Isaiah Hartenstein, the center for the Knicks, picked up 5 fouls in the third quarter alone, okay? In one quarter, he picked up 5 fouls. They're without their backup center, Mitchell Robinson, who was their starter, but now they're backup because of injury after the little incident with Embiid the other night. They're without their starting power forward in Julius Randle, and somehow Joel Embiid was 0 for 5 in the fourth quarter. He didn't make a single shot. And when you think about Embiid here in this series in the fourth quarter, he's been awful. Game 1, 0 for 5. Game 2, 2 for 6. Game 3, 1 for 2. Game 4, 0 for 5. He is 3 of 18 in the fourth quarter in this series. And they lose yesterday. And the Knicks now in the driver's seat to win this series, guys. I'm going to give you one other thing on Embiid that drove me nuts. And then we'll get to the fans, because the Knicks fans, unbelievable yesterday. There was a point in this game where Joel Embiid, for whatever reason, at 93-89, his team is down, decides to full court press by himself on Jalen Brunson. To which Jalen Brunson blew right by him, ultimately, and then nobody knew who they were guarding because Embiid decided on his own to have a one-man full court press at 7'2", 300 pounds. It was one of the dumbest. I don't know which play was this Sixers team drove me nuts yesterday. I don't know which play was dumber, that or somehow they didn't know when Kyle Lowry was going to miss a free throw on purpose, down 3 points. They were dumb yesterday. There's no other way around it, guys.
Yeah, it was awful. It was awful basketball. And I know you're spending a lot of time focusing on the fourth quarter, and rightfully so. I think Joel Embiid was gassed at the end of it. Why press? Which opens up the question, why did Nick Nurse even keep him in the damn game that long, right?
Well, that's fair.
So there's that part of it. But to me, this game was lost for the Sixers in the third quarter. There was a stretch from the six-minute mark to the three-minute mark in the third quarter where the Sixers didn't have one field goal in 8 offensive possessions. It was absolutely abysmal. There were a couple of turnovers by Joel Embiid throwing the ball out of bounds. There was a bad shot after bad shot by Kelly Oubre Jr., by Tyrese Maxey. And I was just sitting there thinking there was an offensive foul where Maxey pushed off. There were just so many different plays where you're saying to yourself, do the Sixers know that this is a playoff game and that you have to take care of the basketball under these circumstances and that every possession against a scrappy, gritty team like the Knicks is going to be huge? I just didn't get it. And, I mean, and then you saw Jalen Brunson banged up at the end of the third quarter. You said, hey, this is the opportunity for the Sixers to assert control over this game. And it just never happened. And they allowed those Knicks fans that came from the tri-state area down to Philadelphia, they allowed them to get into the game. And by the time we got to clutch time in the fourth quarter, it sounded like a Knicks home game. That's what it felt like. But that's the problem with the brand of basketball that the Sixers played in the second half. I mean, it's hard to root for. Hell, it's hard to watch. And so they left the door open for the New York Knicks and for Jalen Brunson to do their thing. And God bless the Knicks, Tom Thibodeau. They took full advantage of it.
So when we look at this yesterday, that game was literally a New York Knicks home game. I mean, there was bleep Embiid chance. They put the Knicks jersey on a Wilt statue. And Joel Embiid postgame, Smalls, had this to say about the Knicks fans outnumbering the Sixers fans.
Disappointing. You know, I love our fans. Think he's unfortunate. And I'm not calling them out, but it is disappointing. Obviously, you got a lot of Knicks fans and they're down the road and never seen it. And I've been here for 10 years. Kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town. So, you know, they've always shown up and I don't think that should happen. It's not okay.
Yeah, guys. First of all, Joel Embiid's basically saying I'm not dissing them and then going on to say how mad he is and how disappointed he is in the crowd. Yes, you are dissing them. And I understand why, because having a home crowd, especially one that's as rowdy as Philadelphia can be, is an advantage. And I understand Knicks fans are so hyped. They've been waiting for a team like this for a long time. It's a short drive. It's easy for them to be able to make the trip and infiltrate in Philly. But if you're a 76ers fan, you have to be mad about the state of the crowd yesterday. That was an impact in the game for sure.
No doubt. And you know what? It's over. I was wrong about this. I thought the Sixers were going to have a run this postseason. It's over. This franchise allowed a losing culture to permeate the entire franchise for too long with the process. This is the ultimate argument against tanking, because they tanked for so long and Embiid was the result of the process. And I still think he doesn't understand the winning culture, winning environment, and what you're supposed to do in that winning environment, as proven by they've never won. Their big move is to go out there and get Daryl Morey, who is most known for complaining to the league, coming up with creative trades and moves, but never actually putting his team over the top. This is not a well-run franchise anymore. It's just not. And I think it's over. I think it's absolutely over. I think Embiid's days in Philadelphia should be done, whether it's his doing or their doing. And the reality is yesterday was the day, guys. Because when Joel Embiid, for the first time in his career, and he has an amazing relationship with the Philly fans, for the first time in his career, went after the Philly fans in some way, shape, or form, I think that's it. I think it's over. I think he has to be on another team next year. Has to be.
I don't know if I'm going to go that far.
I'm ready.
Two months of the season were gone due to injury. Now, I'm not going to sit here and use injuries as the crutch or the excuse for Embiid, because at some point, something about that pattern has to change. If you're going to be a star player, if you're going to be the MVP that the team continues to build around and try to compete for a championship, then you've got to be healthy and available.
But build what? What have they built? And but, I love but Embiid, but what?
I guess that's my point, though. When you start looking at this roster, there are some real flaws in it. I mean, Tobias Harris, that's another contract that's an albatross. Absolutely awful. Now, they'll have flexibility this offseason, but Nicholas Batum, that's a guy that's making a lot of money, and guess what? Nick Batum had 1 point in 21 minutes on the floor. Like, that's unacceptable. They got nothing from their bench. Miles McBride doubled the bench scoring of the Sixers just with him alone. And keep in mind, no Bojan Bogdanovic yesterday, no Mitchell Robinson for the Knicks yesterday, and the Knicks yet and still found a way. Like, there are other guys around Joel Embiid that have got to step up, that have got to be better. I mean, Tyrese Maxey has to be better with his overall decision-making and his floor generalship. It's time for him to grow up. The training wheel's got to come off, bro.
I was wrong about that, too. I thought this was going to be the coming out party for Maxey this postseason.
Oh, it's not. It's absolutely
not. Oh, I know it's not.
It's absolutely not. So, I mean, they have to do more. But the great thing about where the Sixers are is they'll have assets, they'll have cap space in order to retool this team around Embiid and Maxey. And so, if you're Philadelphia, I think you give it another year with Nick Nurse. Remember, this is Nick Nurse's first year. So there's a lot of bad that he's got to undo from the Doc Rivers years of the Philadelphia 76ers. But I think this is a monumental offseason for Philly in terms of what they do, the players that they bring in, and the culture that they try to establish that'll allow them to compete for a championship. Because right now, there's a lot of bad in that building that they've got to get out.
Well, Cece, you said culture, and I think that that's the word I want to go back to, because, Evan, you said you think because Joel Embiid was part of the process, and the process entailed losing in order to build a team that can compete for a championship. So you really think that because he was part of that, even in its infancy, that he can't graduate past that? You think it's just through osmosis always going to be part of his DNA?
I don't think he knows what winning looks like. I just don't. I don't think he understands the process of winning, to use that term, process, right? I don't think he understands what it feels like, what you're supposed to go through, how you're supposed to operate. And I'm not blaming him. You know, you bring in Nick Nurse, championship coach. Nick Nurse was horrible down the stretch yesterday. I mean, again, Embiid, full court press, and nobody knew that Kyle Lowry was going to miss a free throw on purpose down three. Maxey and Oubre were standing there, and the ball went exactly where they would have been if they would have crashed. Nick Nurse did not have a great game yesterday. Nick Nurse hasn't had a great series. You have to take advantage of this. I think it's time. I mean, how many different ways can Philly approach this to realize this is not working?
But what are you going to get for Joel Embiid? Based on the injury history, what are you going to get?
Somebody that also would be injured, I mean, you're not getting.
I mean, I'm not a proponent of making change for change's sake. Like, not all the time. I don't think this is that situation. I think you let this thing breathe. You give it a little more runway to try to figure out.
To accomplish what, Canty? I tried so hard to not jump in here. But accomplish what? He's 31. He's never been healthy. Not once. We drafted him. He wasn't healthy. What is the goal? You're not. He's not going to get better. He's not going to get more healthy as he goes.
Well,
it's over. It's done. It's over.
Pat, that's the point. You're saying he's not going to get better. That may well be true, but when Joel Embiid is on the court, he's a damn good basketball player. My point is,
to what end? For what? He's a good basketball player.
If you let me freaking talk, Pat, I'll explain it.
What I'm trying to say is,
get the team around him better. You got a guy in Tobias Harris that's making $40 million this year. And what was he worth yesterday? Not a damn thing. You got Nicholas Batum, another contract that makes no sense. You're not getting the return on investment. You'll be able to get rid of him this offseason. Those are the guys that you got to get rid of in order for the team to get better. Your 1-2 punch, yeah, it's pretty good. It's not championship good, but it's pretty good. But where you can improve is with those other guys. With 3 through 8, you have to get better. That's where the New York Knicks won. It's with 3 through 8. You're talking about Joel Embiid like he's some bum. The guy had 50 points on Thursday night, for God's sakes. What are you talking about? He's a good basketball player. He won an MVP a year ago. He was injured this year. He's working himself back from injury.
He's injured every year. It's not this year. It's every single season. Sorry about your clock, Nuno. It's every single season. He can't stay healthy. He can't stay on the court. You can't win a championship with a guy who's on the bench because he can't stay healthy or doesn't show up in the fourth quarter because he's tired.
He was on the court yesterday.
He was tired. How many points did he score in the fourth?
He was tired because he's carrying the whole damn team on his back, and he's only got one leg.
He was tired.
What are you saying? You're being ridiculous right now.
He can't do it anymore.
I can't take it. I can't take it. I can't take us to break. I can't take it. I can't take Packers. I can't take it.
We're on Sports Tonight, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Now that the weekend is over, it's time to look back and break it down.
Without further ado, let's get this thing kicked off.
This is a Pun Further Review.
After further review,
a little farther, a little farther.
With Chris Canty.
Ah, yes. A post-draft edition of a Pun Further Review. She is Michelle Smallman. He is Evan Cohen. I am Chris Canty. And Javonte, if you will, let's get this thing cracking.
Number 3.
The GOAT calls it a career. Candace Parker announced her retirement from the WNBA over the weekend. The 38-year-old re-signed with the Aces back in February, but said that her foot wasn't cooperating, and it's the same injury that cut her 2023 season short. You never want to see an athlete go out like that, but she did it better than anyone else when it comes to basketball in the women's game. I mean, 2-time Gatorade High School Player of the Year, 2-time Wooden Award winner, 2-time national champion at Tennessee, 3-time WNBA champion with the Sparks, the Sky, and the Aces, the first person in the W to win championships with 3 different teams. She's also 2-time league MVP, the only person to win league MVP in her rookie year, a 10-time All-WNBA selection, 7-time WNBA All-Star, a Defensive Player of the Year in 2020, and, oh, by the way, 2-time Olympic gold medalist. She's a no doubt, no-brainer, first ballot Hall of Famer. And with the influx of talent into the W headlined by Caitlin Clark and the rise in the popularity of the sport, I think it's important at this time that we acknowledge that those young women stand on the shoulders of Candace Parker. She was absolutely awesome.
You know, she said specifically she wanted to leave the game better than she found it. Well, this is the perfect time then to leave the game because the game, women's basketball is at an all-time high. I did not think we were going to have enough time in this segment for you to read her entire resume.
Yeah.
My God.
Oh, I forgot to mention, she won the McDonald's All-American High School Dunk Contest.
Yeah.
Well, that's I was going to say,
throw the dunks in there.
Smalls, the dunk is important, and I'm being serious. Because
it is very important.
It gave young women, young ladies who are playing basketball the ability to dream and say, well, no, I could do that too. And now way more athletes are doing that on the women's side.
Absolutely. Representation is important in many forms. And for women, young women specifically, they had never really seen that or never thought that that might be part of their game. And Candace Parker opened doors in so many ways, not only with dunking, but as you mentioned, Cece, with her play. So much of what we see right now happening in women's basketball, this explosion, is because of people like Candace Parker who paved the way. So she absolutely left the game better than she found it. I'm going to miss watching her play, but make no mistake about it, Candace Parker, a huge reason why this game and the women's game specifically is so important and so visible right now.
No doubt, and congrats to Candace Parker on an amazing career. And we already know she's crushing the game when it comes to sports broadcasting too, doing her thing with the TNT crew. So shout out to them. Next.
Number two.
The conclusion of the 2024 NFL draft marked the completion of the Deshaun Watson trade between the Cleveland Browns and the Houston Texans. The final tally was Houston acquiring offensive guard Kenyon Green, 2022 first-round draft pick, running back Damian Pierce, 2022 fourth-round draft pick, edge rusher Will Anderson Jr., first-round pick in 2023, wide receiver Tank Dell in the 2023 class third-round pick, cornerback Kamari Lassiter out of Alabama, this year's second-round pick, safety Caden Bullock, 2024 fourth round pick, and linebacker Jamal Hill, 2024 sixth round pick. We will remember the Deshaun Watson trade as the foundation for the Texans' sustained success over the next decade of football. Let me say that again. We will remember the Deshaun Watson trade as the foundation for the Texans' sustained success over the next decade of football. It ain't the great train robbery that we saw between the Dallas Cowboys and the Minnesota Vikings with Herschel Walker, but it's damn close. It is damn close. Just goes to show you that when a team is willing to trade away a quarterback, the team acquiring the quote-unquote franchise guy usually doesn't get the better of the deal.
Are you suggesting something?
Might be on the quarterback rules. This might be on the quarterback rules.
You want to add to the lamination?
This might be on the quarterback rules.
This might be.
There are the outliers. There are the ones that just kind of seemingly don't make any sense.
Don't trade for a mega quarterback, like a franchise quarterback?
Well, I mean, the one that we saw work out in recent memory is Matt Stafford, right?
Yeah.
That's the one that we did see
different
work out.
Different kind of trade, though.
Different kind of trade. Matt Stafford wanted out. It was the end of, you know, getting to the twilight of his prime. It made sense for both sides. But what I'm usually saying is the team that's trading the haul for the franchise quarterback, it usually doesn't work out. It just doesn't.
Okay, I need to put a name to this very quickly.
Go ahead.
Here. We've talked a lot about the idea of Dak Prescott. Would he ever ask out? You're saying, in essence, don't try to do it a year in advance if you're a team out there. You're going to have to give up a haul. Just wait for free agency.
Just wait for free agency.
All right. Interesting.
I have one more question before you move on, Cece. This is a bad look, obviously, for Cleveland as Houston continues to build and have success. If the Texans go on and win a Super Bowl, does this go down as the worst trade in NFL history? Or at least it's got to be right up there, right, as one of the worst ones?
Yeah, the contract makes it one of the worst trades in NFL history. The contract that they gave Deshaun Watson, in effect, means that he owns the Cleveland Browns and not owner Jimmy Haslam. That's what it means. That is. I mean, we talked about how bad the Brad Beal contract is. Forget about it. Like Deshaun, it pales in comparison to Deshaun Watson's contract.
Yeah, it's bad for the Browns, but as the Texans continue to have success, it makes it even worse.
Yeah, and that's the crazy thing because the Texans were in a desperate situation where they had to move on from Deshaun Watson with 24 sexual misconduct allegations, and they were still able to fleece the Cleveland Browns. That just goes to show you the Browns are going to brown. Sorry, Rob. Next.
Number one.
We keep talking about bad looks. Is it a bad look that Jalen Brunson is an Eagles fan and he plays for the New York Knicks? Probably not. Not when you drop a franchise record 47 points in a playoff game on the road. I mean, this is going to sound crazy, y'all. I get it. But the New York Knicks can get to the NBA Finals. The New York Knicks can get to the NBA Finals. Jalen Brunson is a bona fide superstar, and the team around him has more grit than any other squad in the Eastern Conference. They just do. I mean, New York had 21 second-chance points off of 15 offensive rebounds yesterday. They out-hit and out-hustled the 76ers, and by the time we got to the fourth quarter, the Wells Fargo Arena sounded like a Knicks home game. That's just what it was. I mean, Brunson's response to Embiid's 50-point performance on Friday night with his 47-point masterpiece to go along with 10 dimes was absolutely phenomenal. All the while, his team was shorthanded, no Mitchell Robinson. Bojan Bogdanovic got hurt early in that game. I mean, the East actually feels like a two-team race, and the Knicks are one of those teams. Like, entering the second week of playoff basketball, the East is clearly a two-team race, and the Knicks are one of those teams. I did not think we would be in that place when we were talking about the playoff seeding about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
The crazy thing is there's only one city that should be offended by your two-team race, and that's Indiana. Think about that. Milwaukee has no right to be offended right now, down 3-1 with Giannis and Dame out. Bobby Portis getting ejected after 7 minutes.
Clown.
And Bobby Portis is too good for that.
Clown.
That's ridiculous, right? Miami can't be annoyed that you said it's a two-team race, right? Cleveland and Orlando can't be annoyed. Only Indiana can be annoyed that you just said it's a two-team race in the East between the Knicks and the Celtics.
And Tyrese Halliburton isn't healthy. He got nicked up in pregame warm-ups of all things yesterday.
He did play well, though.
He played well. He played well. But I'm just saying. He's not 100% healthy.
On Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. And now a list of things from Progressive Insurance. Home, auto, boat, motorcycle, RV, ATV. Progressive protects them all. Learn more about bundling at progressive.com. The draft is complete. We will discuss coming up. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All 7 rounds of the NFL draft in the books. Our draft coverage brought to you by True Green. Get the best lawn at the best price, guaranteed. All right, guys. We know that after one night of the NFL draft, the biggest takeaway was by far the Atlanta Falcons taking Michael Penix at number 8 overall. After 7 rounds of the draft, guys, where are we at? Biggest takeaway, 24 drafts. CC?
The SEC is the G League for the NFL. 18th straight year that the SEC has had the most drafted players of any conference into the NFL. That's insane.
By the way, it's also amazing considering they didn't even have the number one school overall because Michigan had that, and they still have number one. Like the Big Ten, it's not like the Big Ten doesn't have schools that could produce pros. The SEC still has that. So SEC dominance. Smalls, for you?
I guess for me, it's expected dominance in the NFC North. I can't remember, guys, the last time I was this excited specifically about Chicago Bears football. I loved what the Bears did in the draft. I think they had an A-plus draft class. Not only did they end up getting Caleb Williams, I love that they were able to give him a weapon in Romo Dunze, a big physical receiver, to add to DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. The Bears have done seemingly everything right, guys, to put Caleb Williams in a position of success. I have all the confidence in the world that we're going to see a better version of the Bears this year. And that's not to say they were bad last year. They went 7-10 and showed a lot of progress down the stretch. But I think about things that could inhibit them in ways. And I think about the division and how exciting the NFC North will be. I think the Lions are going to be right there yet again. The Packers with Jordan Love right there yet again. The Bears are going to take a step forward. And then the Vikings had a really strong draft. I love them going out and getting J.J. McCarthy. So I just think for me, it's looking forward to what should be a really exciting division in the NFC North.
Yeah, I well said. I think there's a couple of I wrote down a bunch of sneaky moves here. Baltimore getting North Carolina wide receiver Tez Walker in the fourth round.
Outstanding.
I like that. Buffalo getting Keon Coleman at number 33 overall from FSU.
I thought that
was interesting. And I can't believe I'm saying this. The New York Jets actually had real value in the later rounds. Jordan Travis, the quarterback from FSU. We all say, okay, who's the Jets quarterback in the future? If you told me it was this guy, it's not that shocking. And I also love them drafting Braylon Allen, the running back out of Wisconsin, who's 20 years old, if I'm not mistaken, and is a beast. You know, you put him with Breece Hall, and that's a good thunder and lightning kind of.
Of course you're going to work in the Wisconsin.
Well, he's big and he's strong. Go look him up.
Of course you're going to work. I don't have to look him up. I watched college football last year.
Not you. I mean the mass. I know you know. I'm not saying just to you.
Yeah.
The other team that I'm fascinated by after the draft, the Philadelphia Eagles. They made eight trades.
Totally.
And they get, I think, three picks for next year. Now, two things. My initial takeaway for that is, that's a team that's going all in, so they'll have ammo if they want to make trades in preseason or in season.
Mm-hmm.
And Nuno, to his credit, tipped me off on something that if they get, you know, a penalty for the tampering with Saquon and have picks taken away, they replenish those picks. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles looked this offseason like the Dallas Cowboys told us that they were going to look this offseason going all in. I think the Philadelphia, they get two corners that they could potentially play right away. All these extra picks. And Mekhi Becton, the offensive tackle they get from the Jets by way of free agency. I'm impressed with the Eagles this weekend here.
Well, a corner is going to have to play right away, right? Because their secondary was absolutely abysmal last year. But they also addressed the front seven, being able to bring over Bryce Huff in free agency. But the move that I absolutely love, and this is a guy that a lot of people are going to know in Philadelphia, Jeremiah Trotter Jr.
Yep.
Being able to get him in the fifth round. Like they said, they stuck to their board when they drafted him. They brought him in. I think he's got great instincts. We'll see what ends up happening, them finding a role for him in their defense. But overall, the theme that Howie Roseman said this offseason and in their draft is bringing in guys that have a chip on their shoulder. And I'm curious as to why they felt that they needed to prioritize that in their offseason plan.
Well, what are you thinking?
Well,
You're thinking something.
I mean, well, I'm thinking they lost a lot of leadership in the way of Fletcher Cox and, of course, the center Jason Kelce. And so those were two guys that were edgy players, you know, by all accounts. If you watched them play, teammates, opponents, those guys played with an edge. They played with a chip on their shoulder constantly, and it felt like everybody took their cues off of those guys. But as they moved out of the heart of their prime, you saw this team kind of have a little bit of a dip, especially down the stretch last year, losing six of their final seven games. They've got to find somebody within that franchise that can establish that leadership role that will keep this team from going through the kind of lull that we saw them go through last year, the malaise that was over them that left us all questioning the head coach, the quarterback, and everyone involved with the Eagles. So them prioritizing those types of personalities to bring in their organization, I thought was a little bit curious that Howie Roseman came out and said as much.
Yeah, I thought the same thing as you, CeCe, not only because of the talent drain with a lot of veteran leadership leaving the locker room, but the way the season ended to me indicates that they want players who have that fight in them. When you end up having a complete meltdown on the back half of the season like that, you want to bring in people that you think have that grittiness, have that toughness, have that willingness to fight. And I think that sandpaper that hopefully they're infusing this locker room with will do them some good.
The other couple ones that I thought were interesting, Saints drafting Spencer Rattler, quarterback, in the fifth round. I don't think like he's some unbelievable quarterback, But I also don't think Derek Carr is either. So you do wonder if maybe he gets some snaps. And New England took a second quarterback, which Kirk Cousins did not like that the Patriots took a second quarterback there. Joe Milton, the QB out of Tennessee, who I'm not sure if it was a fake video or not, but people say he could throw an orange 100 yards. How can you throw an orange 100 yards?
Joe Milton can throw the football out of the stadium.
A football, like, yes. An orange?
Joe Milton, I'm just telling you, that is – now, he don't know where to throw the ball at. But listen.
Is that a problem?
The guy has a ham cannon. Like, I mean, it's unbelievable the kind of arm talent that he has.
Yeah, and they so he's going to be in that quarterback room. By the way, one quick thing on Kirk Cousins, who was not happy about the Michael Penix thing. You know, he was drafted by Washington the same year they drafted RG3. He didn't seem to have a problem with that, right? Didn't hear him say anything about that when he took over as quarterback. Like, oh, God, still bothers me. Coming up, Luka lost without Kawhi? What? We'll get to that next on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.